fellow queers, you're listening to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez. And on today's episode, I have a special guest joining us for this week's analysis. We met on TikTok, and as I've mentioned in previous episodes, this platform has been such a fun, wild ride, and I've gotten to connect with some great members of our community on there. So if you've never been on TikTok or have yet to try it out as a platform, I highly recommend it. Well, with that being said, I'll let our guests introduce themselves.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Tony, and I'm a graphic designer by day and budding TikToker by night. I love queer media because we finally have that representation, that chance for our stories to be told. Growing up, straight media never really captured the struggles and subtle nuances that make a story uniquely queer. The bated breath of wondering if someone is like us and could like us.
I could not have said it better, Tony. And now that I have you on here, would you like to tell our listeners what film we're analyzing today?
On today's episode, we're talking about Your Name Engraved Herein, a 2020 queer romance drama.
Your Name Engraved Herein, a 2020 Taiwanese drama directed by Kwang Hui Liu, screenplay by Yeo Ning Chu, starring Edward Chen and Jing Hua Sang. And the Netflix synopsis. In 1987, as martial law ends in Taiwan, Jia Han and Birdie fall in love amid family pressure, homophobia, and social stigma. There won't be a trailer in this episode, but we'll provide links to watch it in the podcast description. At this time, I will provide a full recap for Your Name Engraved Herein. And if you would like to skip it and go straight to the full analysis, just go forward 10 to 12 minutes. Enjoy. It's 1987, and the film opens up in an all-boys Catholic school in Taiwan. Student Jia Han is visiting the school priest, Father Olivier. Jia Han looks a bit beat up, blood seeping down the side of his face. Father Olivier asks Jia Han with a slight smile on his face, "Okay, what class is this girl in?" Jia Han, with an expression of what feels like defeat and disappointment, then changes to a small smile, looks up at Father Olivier in silence. The words of the Song of Solomon 8:7 appear on the screen. There will be more on the Song of Solomon later. Then we see an official notice that effective July 15, 1987, martial law will be lifted in Taiwan. The screen then fades to black. We are now introduced to Jia Han. He's a junior at an all-boys Catholic high school. We first meet him doing laps in a swimming pool. And as he's coming up for air at the end of the lap, another boy comes up for air as well. They both get ready to swim back out, but realize that they're in the same lap and could potentially crash into each other. That is such a meet cute. They both stop and look at one another, and it appears that they don't know each other, but perhaps have seen each other around. Jia Han asks the other student, "Did you just transfer here?" To which the boy responds, "Yeah, I'm in liberal studies." Jia Han replies that, well, he's in 11th grade in science. These two boys look at each other some more. A bit of an attraction is apparent. The next scene flashes forward to Jia Han again with Father Olivier. Jia Han is telling him the story of the beginning of this friendship with this boy from the pool, who we learn is named Wang Pote, or, as he likes to be called, Birdie. Birdie is kind of a mischievous student. He's a prankster. He likes to sneak out of the school at night to buy food. And one night, both Birdie and Jia Han witness some guys at the high school bullying a gay student. Or at least it's suspected that he's gay. The bullies are in fact Jia Han's friends. And in a moment of pressure where they ask Jia Han to beat up the kid as well, Birdie steps out in defense for this student. As the school year rolls on, Jia Han's grades begin to slip. The school president tells Jiahan's mother that he'll have to be transferred to liberal arts studies. But to not worry, because Jiahan could still become a lawyer or an accountant. He also warns Jiahan's mother that soon the school will become co-ed and will allow female students to attend. Birdie is listening nearby, but isn't seen. After an official announcement of President Chiang Ching-kuo's death, students are invited to take the day off in mourning. Birdie and Jiahan travel together to the city of Taipei and take advantage of this given holiday. They witness the crowds of people gathered around mourning the loss of President Chiang Ching-kuo. Birdie and Jiahan join the crowds in prayer, Jiahan praying fiercely, while Birdie smiles at him. At this moment, we can tell that Jiahan is a devoted Catholic and does take the moment of prayer seriously. While walking around and exploring, the two come across this queer protester holding up a sign that reads, "Marriage is a right. Homosexuality is not a disease." Soon, the police arrive, some in plain clothes, to forcibly take away this protester. But Birdie starts to get upset, demanding at the men to let the protester go. Jiahan holds him back and begs him to not get involved. The two then visit a nearby video lounge to watch the film Birdie, apparently where Wang Pote got his nickname from. Birdie asks Jiahan what he thinks that will happen to this protester. Jiahan responds back that he doesn't know. Birdie then asks, what would Jiahan do if Birdie died? Jiahan tells him, don't think about such things. Eventually, Birdie dozes off. And at this moment, Jiahan leans over Birdie's face, hovering over just a bit, maybe to kiss him, but is interrupted by a staff member at the lounge. Back at Jiahan's home, his family is at the dinner table, and a fight ensues when Jiahan is patronized by his dad for being transferred to the liberal arts studies. He wishes Jiahan will get serious and go to a good college and eventually have a girlfriend. In fury, Jiahan walks out and sits outside of the house. His mother eventually joins him and tries to console him. Jiahan asks her if she married his father for love, to which she laughs and says, "No, we just met. And then we had you." Jiahan, disappointed at her answer, says that people shouldn't get married to procreate, that people should be in love. Back at the house, Jiahan experiences his first wet dream about Birdie. And as we flash forward again with Father Olivier and a bloodied up Jiahan, Father Olivier tells him that lust is sinful and that one must avoid all sin for the sake of God. Jiahan clarifies to him that it's not lust, but love. And what is one of my favorite scenes of this film, Jiahan asks Father Olivier plainly on what he should do. The Lord tells him to seek and that he shall find the answers and to knock on the door and that it should be open to him. And he has done both and there are no responses, no answers from God. Flashback to the boys in band, Jiahan notices Birdie aligning himself with a female student who openly protests the school's disciplinary official. Later, Jiahan tells Birdie that he should stay away from the female students and to stay out of trouble. We next see Jiahan leading the school's military band and overhears his friends attacking Birdie upstairs. He runs to his defense and Birdie escapes by jumping from the second story level. Luckily, he was not harmed. And now we are at their military band competition. Their group gets disqualified, though, when Birdie sings a ballad-like song in his solo. The judge says that the song is feminine and that they should be ashamed. Fuming, Birdie runs away. Jiahan tries to console him, but Birdie pushes him back, instead seeking comfort with the female student from before, Ban Ban. Birdie later pulls a balloon prank at their school with words attached to it professing his love to Ban Ban, unbeknownst to Jiahan, who helped him steal the balloon the night before. And to cut the wounds even deeper, the words Birdie used to profess his love to Ban Ban were the words that Jiahan had sent to him earlier to his pager. This leads to the beginning of the end of Jiahan and Birdie's friendship. And what is one of the toughest scenes to watch is when Jiahan goes and meets an older man. The two spend some time together, they eat, they talk. But when the older man tries to make a sexual intimate move on Jiahan, Jiahan pushes him away angrily and leaves. The scene then flashes forward back to a bloody Jiahan with Father Olivier, where he tells him that hell is probably a pleasant place to be, since there will be more people like him to understand his love and his pain. We next see Jiahan getting out of a taxi to find Birdie injured from a scooter accident, a scooter that belonged to Jiahan. Birdie, who appears intoxicated, apologizes over and over again, saying that he's going to fix the scooter. And Jiahan tells him that he doesn't have to worry about the scooter. Why are you worried about this right now? Later, we see that Jiahan is trying to help Birdie, who now has a broken arm, take a shower. And in that shower, they have an intimate moment. Afterwards, they share the mutual feelings of pain, shame, and an understanding of one another's desire. Time passes by and Birdie gets distant from Jiahan. That is, up until the day that Birdie gets suspended for the balloon prank a while back. His father comes to the school and begins to punish Birdie in front of the school administrators. Out of nowhere, Jiahan appears, taking a hit that was meant for Birdie from his father. Jiahan and Birdie then begin to fight one another, and Father Olivier comes in to break the fight up, which leads us now to the present, with a bloody Jiahan in Father Olivier's office. And as Jiahan and Father Olivier pray, they are interrupted by Jiahan's friend, who tells him that Birdie is now at his house, and his mother would like him to come home. Once Jiahan gets there, he finds Birdie in their living room, also beat up a little bit, telling his parents that Jiahan stole his girlfriend and has been acting really weird in school. Jiahan, upset, confused, and distraught, begins to tell his parents about his true feelings, about his sexuality, when Birdie stops him. Jiahan tells him that if he finds queerness so repulsive, that he should tell it to his face. And with that, he leaves, getting on his bike, Birdie chasing him not too far behind. Jiahan continues to ride his bike, which then leads them to taking a bus, then leads them to taking a ferry all the way to Panga Island, where it seems to be completely isolated from the rest of the world. There, the two boys go skinny dipping into the water, and they seem the most free there, together. It gives you a look at how they were in the beginning of the film. The two share a tender kiss on the shore, and in the backdrop, we learn that it was the last time that they saw one another in their adolescence. Years pass, and we meet a middle-aged Jiahan who's attending his high school's reunion. He's looking around the room as though hoping to see someone there, probably Birdie. Someone from his class passes around the booklet of information with everyone's numbers, and we see Jiahan attempting to call one of the listings. Then we get a flashback from when Jiahan calls Birdie after their Bunga Island getaway. Jiahan plays him a tape recording of the song, Your Name Engraved Herein. We see them both break down, tears flowing, while the song plays. Flash forward to the present with the middle-aged Jiahan traveling to Montreal to visit Father Olivier's grave. We learned that Father Olivier was gay himself, but oppressed his sexuality for many years for his love of the church. After meeting Olivier's partner, Jiahan goes to the local pub that Father Olivier and his lover used to frequent in the old town. There, he's surprised to see Birdie, but doesn't approach him that evening. Days go by, and once again he goes back to the pub, hoping to run into him. The night goes on, but he doesn't see Birdie. Jiahan leaves the bar and begins to walk back to his hotel when someone taps him on the shoulder. He turns around and sees Birdie. Upon knowing that Jiahan had seen him a few days before, Birdie asks him why didn't he approach him. Jiahan, embarrassed, says that he didn't think he'd ever see him in that kind of bar. The two proceed to stroll the downtown area, and Birdie confesses that he did love Jiahan back in the day, back when they were both in school. And to him, he felt that he had to suppress his feelings. Times were very different back then, and being openly gay was not accepted. The two end up outside of Jiahan's hotel. Jiahan invites Birdie up for a drink, to which Birdie declines. My heart. Birdie wishes Jiahan good night, and the two split. But not for long, because Jiahan decides to join Birdie for the walk back to his hotel. And as they walk, they both see their younger selves hanging out in this old town square, playing Your Name Engraved Herein in younger Jiahan's guitar, and the both of them are singing at the top of their lungs as the sun rises in the background.
The story takes place in the late 80s in Taiwan, right after the end of 40 years of martial law known as the White Terror, a period of extreme political suppression. It was very common for people to disappear if they were suspected of being aligned with the opposition of the Kuomintang, the KMT. Early on in the movie, the passing of President Chiang Ching-kuo is announced. This sets up the political climate, the backdrop in which the movie takes place. Taiwan can finally begin to breathe from years of repression and enters a period of new ways of thinking, giving a sort of timid hopefulness for the future, as Ahan and Birdie are youths who are capable of challenging the stricter ways that the previous generation contended with. But there was still an incredible level of conservatism, and homosexuality was frowned upon. During their Taipei visit, Ahan and Birdie see a protester on an overhead bridge. This protester is an homage to the Taiwanese LGBT rights activist Chi Jiawei. Chi was the first person in Taiwan to come out as gay on national television and worked to bring HIV/AIDS awareness to the LGBT community. He also fought for years for recognition of same-sex couples by the Ministry of Justice. His efforts influenced the 2017 ruling by the courts to finally allow for same-sex marriage in 2019. To my knowledge, Taiwan is the only country in East Asia that recognizes same-sex marriages today.
Apart from the school uniform, the clothing the boys wear remains pretty consistent throughout the film. We mostly see Jiahan wearing blues, whites, and tans. Blue is mostly recognized as being a calming color, signifying tranquility, wisdom, and kindness. Neutral colors like brown, white, tan are meant to signify purity, aligning well with Jiahan's devoted Catholicism. After Birdie professes his love to Ban Ban at their school, we see Jiahan wearing a green vest, a color that, although symbolizes growth, progress, and happiness, can also signify envy. Birdie, however, we see in not a lot of different patterns, but we do see him in a lot of plaid. Plaid, with its contrasting colors, lines, usually symbolizes duality and separation. He is also seen wearing plaid with black and white, stuck between two selves. We can align this with Birdie's struggles in keeping up this relationship with Ban Ban while fighting back feelings for Jiahan. We later see middle-aged Birdie wearing plaid again, but this time with red. And red, as we know, symbolizes romance, strength, and passion. The Birdie that we see at this stage in his life is ready to accept himself fully and love again.
When I first watched this film, I made a silly mental note to myself about how often Birdie and Ahan were caught in the rain and drenched. It was only on my second and later watchings that I caught the Song of Solomon 8:7 verse, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it." After that, the use of water made a lot of sense. Ahan is constantly fighting between his Catholic faith and his love for Birdie. The opening scene is them meeting in water, and the obvious connotation is that of a baptism. Later in the movie, every time Ahan gets closer and closer to accepting that he loves Birdie, regardless of his faith, he's either rained on or in that spicy shower scene. On the flip side, when Ahan is trying to be straight with the girl on the lake, he never touches the water. And in the scenes with the older man, Ahan contemplatively watches the rain from inside, or stares blankly out onto the lake, again, never touching the water. When Ahan and Birdie jump into the ocean, the scene kind of bookends the beginning of the film. They're both submerged in water, and accept that they do love each other, but the timing is wrong. And the scene where Ahan is absolutely drenched by the rain and is sharing the song with Birdie, sitting at home, safe and dry, is especially painful. "Your Name Engraved Herein is a beautiful story about love, and is absolutely heart-wrenching. I'm sure so many of the older queer folk can relate to having to suppress themselves for years before being able to be true to themselves. The story shows that even if you try hiding your truth, somehow it will set itself free."
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Tony. I can't watch this film too many times. And before anyone takes that the wrong way, it's not that it's a bad film. I mean, on the contrary, it's an amazing film. It tugs at my heartstrings in a way that no film has done so far this year. I'm so happy that this film was recommended to me because who knows when I would have watched it. And during my second rewatch, I was texting Tony with new things that jumped out at me, and it's just a masterpiece. It's an experience as well. Have a box of tissues ready, maybe a weighted blanket to keep you feeling safe, because this will make your heart ache. And to me, watching films like these, where one loses years without your better half, the other love of your life due to social stigmas, it's just heartbreaking. This film ends on a bittersweet note, maybe even more bitter than sweet, in my opinion, because you see the two reunite. You see Jehan and Birdie finally reunite after so many years. And though they're still young, of course, they've lost so many years of what could have been spent together. If you want to watch Your Name Engraved Herein, it's available to stream now on Netflix. Thank you for listening to Movies a la Queer. If you haven't done so already, follow on Instagram and TikTok for the latest news updates. And if you have any phone requests, please also leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you listen to Movies a la Queer podcast. This would make Movies a la Queer easier to find. I also want to thank Tony for his help in this film's analysis. Tony, where can the listeners find you?
You can find me being a dork on TikTok. My handle is Sagittonius, with the first O being a zero. And yes, I am a Sagittarius. I have reviews of other BL, boys love, movies, some reactions to series, my attempts to learn Thai, and other sorts of silliness. Again, thanks for having me.
No, thank you for helping me analyze this film. It's been my favorite film that I've watched in such a long time. This is Sarita Ramirez. Stay safe, stay warm, or if you're like Tony in Vegas, stay cool. Stay safe, and I'll see you next week with another episode.